Chapel Hillians turned out over the weekend for several big events downtown, both fun and serious. First, on Saturday, where hundreds of local residents turned out on Franklin Street for Chapel Hill's first LGBTQ Pride March, the first of numerous events to celebrate Pride in Chapel Hill and Carrboro throughout the month of June. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell was there.
With Carolina blue sky above, downtown Chapel Hill was filled with many colors on Saturday afternoon for the local Pride Promenade. With hundreds of people wearing and waving various combinations of colors to represent the factions of the LGBTQ plus community, participants gathered in the Peace and Justice Plaza to prepare for marching down Franklin Street. Organizers and attendees found many ways to celebrate Pride and have a party. There was hula hooping, bubble blowing, dancing, using temporary tattoos, and lots of comparing outfits or costumes. Gina Kowalski experienced a personal first during the celebration: roller skating in a parade. Having started the hobby in just February, she planned to venture out slowly into the procession down Franklin Street, wearing the quads she painted rainbow colors.
I got them as a gift from a friend, and I painted them pride colors. There's so many differences and everybody that's here, so much love. It's a great community, and so I'm just here to celebrate it and be a part of it and enjoy it and share all the love that I have.
Sam Slayer, an Orange County resident who was sporting a set of rainbow feathers on her back, agreed.
It's wonderful, and it's exciting to see so many other people out here and celebrating Pride. It's been a lot of hard news lately, so it's nice to just be joyous. Happy Pride, and tell your representatives to shoot down the House Bill 755.
That piece of legislation in the North Carolina General Assembly was on the mind of several attendees of the Saturday promenade. The Republican-led bill is presented as a measure to allow parents more influence in classroom curriculum, but it would also ban discussions of gender and sexual identity from kindergarten through third grade. While still several steps away from a full vote in the state Senate, several advocacy groups and members of the LGBTQ community have denounced the bill as an attempt to further stigmatize queer-identifying students and educators. Former Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt, who is the town's first openly gay mayor, addressed the crowd as the march began. He mentioned House Bill 755 and called for people to funnel their celebratory energy into a drive to protect the LGBTQ community as well.
Not 30-minute drive from here, there are people who are putting members of our community in danger. They're putting our youngest, most vulnerable members of our community at harm's risk. Who's right?
Still, Kleinschmidt acknowledged that such a public display of queer love and pride seen Saturday would have been considered taboo in Chapel Hill when he moved to the area. He said it strikes him how much has changed to see the town help organize its first pride parade downtown in decades.
The world is a different place. I can't imagine seeing the pride colors on Franklin Street like we do today. Can't imagine seeing queer young people on the street celebrating who they are.
Shortly after those comments, the crowd began its brief procession. Among those leading the group was Carrboro resident Walker Smith, who carried perhaps the biggest rainbow flag seen on Saturday. Smith echoed Kleinschmidt's sentiment about the participation of young people in Pride, himself included. He also shared the emotions around his and the crowd's excitement to be marching in Chapel Hill.
I think celebration is important, whether it's been more difficult or not as difficult. I think it's always good to show that we have pride in it, that we're not embarrassed about it, that it's a good thing, and it's fun to celebrate. It's fun to have a parade and hang out with people and see friends, and so it's uplifting. And I think it's very valuable.
To see more photos of Saturday's Pride Promenade, head to chapelboro.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
That Pride March was on Saturday. On Friday, a much smaller crowd turned out at Peace and Justice Plaza for a more somber event, a flag-raising ceremony to mark National Gun Violence Awareness Day and renew the call for stronger gun laws in the wake of a recent spate of mass shootings nationwide. There was also a more festive occasion down the road on Friday. Crook's Corner Restaurant took its first steps toward reopening with a one-day sale of its famous honeysuckle sorbet. They sold out fast. 97.9 The Hill's Andrew Stuckey was there.
Right at noon on Friday, a line stretched around Crook's Corner and down one full city block. And everyone was gathering for the same thing.
The honeysuckle sorbet.
Honeysuckle.
Oh, honeysuckle sorbet. It's the best.
And the atmosphere in that long line was one of hope.
Well, mostly to get the sorbet, but also to kind of encourage Crook's Corner to open back up.
Crook's Corner opened originally in 1982 and spent the next 38 years growing an unmatched reputation for serving fine dining style Southern food, culminating with a James Beard Award in 2011. They also forged a connection with the community that made their closure in June of last year difficult for many to take.
We're waiting with bated breath for them to reopen. Yeah, they're like family.
So when the news broke that Crook's would be opening for one day to sell their famous honeysuckle sorbet, people paid attention and showed up.
The last honeysuckle sorbet, we had it like it was about a week before they closed.
Well, I love honeysuckle. I used to eat the nectar from the flowers off the bushes all the time when I was a kid, but I've never had it in a sorbet before, so I'm excited to try it.
I enjoy honeysuckle nectar from the flowers, so I figured it'd be good in an ice cream or in a sorbet as well.
I've only missed a few years since I knew about it.
It only happens once a year. We're lucky they're going to treat us this year.
The turnout was good. So good that they sold out of all 600 servings of the summer suite in just 28 minutes.
Oh, we've run out.
Gail Murrell works at Crook's Corner.
Tremendous success. We had about 600 orders, and they are our 600 gone orders. We're very efficient about bagging. So the line was like, woo-woo-woo. But we pre-packed. 600 orders are now gone.
Those who are still in line when the supply ran out got a rain check, with the hopes that there's enough honeysuckle season left for former executive chef of Crook's Corner, Bill Smith, to make another batch.
We didn't know that 600 could go that fast.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Andrew Stuckey.
And you can head to our website, chapelboro.com, to see photos from Crook's Corner, plus the flag-raising ceremony for gun violence awareness, and as Brighton mentioned, Saturday's Pride Parade. Turning to business news, the CVS Pharmacy in downtown Chapel Hill is about to close its doors. A statement from CVS says the location will close on Thursday, June 16th, 10 days from now. They're encouraging customers who fill prescriptions there to start finding other locations. CVS is located in a building owned by Grubb Properties that's at the center of the ongoing East Rosemary redevelopment project. Planned renovations include a wet lab space upstairs, but Grubb Properties says there's no current plan for that CVS space. And to our website, chapelboro.com, for even more local news, including two pieces from the Chatham News and Record, one on a plan for new athletic fields in the Chatham Park development, and one on pushback from LGBTQ students in Chatham County over that so-called parents' rights bill, HB 755. It's time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Olmaz Jewelers. It's been a wild weekend for UNC baseball, and it's not over yet. The Tar Heels are set to take on VCU tonight at 6 in a winner-take-all game to wrap up the NCAA regional. Carolina kicked off the weekend with a 15-4 win over Hofstra, but then things got interesting on Saturday as the Heels faced VCU. Back-to-back controversial calls went against the Tar Heels in the early innings. Head coach Scott Forbes was ejected and suspended for two games after arguing, and Carolina fell to the Rams 4-3, an outcome that had even athletic director Bubba Cunningham tweeting his frustration with Forbes' suspension. But the Tar Heels rallied back on Sunday with a 6-5 win over Georgia to get a rematch last night with VCU, and Carolina made it count, rolling over the Rams 19-8 to set up tonight's do-or-die final. Pitching coach Bryant Gaines served as acting head coach on Sunday, fittingly, because the Tar Heel pitching staff had a lot of work to do over two games. Most notably, Caden O'Brien. He worked four innings against VCU just a few hours after getting the final out against Georgia. Here's Gaines.
Yeah, I'm just so proud of them, because the thing that we talk about first and foremost is resilience. You know, being able to handle anything that gets thrown at you. And, you know, they spend so many hours that people don't see after these games working out in the weight room to try to put their bodies in a position to be able to come back the next day. And oftentimes they may not come back the next day. It may be a week. It could be 2 weeks. It could be even more time. But this is the most fun I've had coaching a pitching staff this year, and it's because I know that when these games end, guys like Caden and the rest of those guys, they work really hard in the back so that when it gets to the point of the season where we need you the most, when you don't feel very good, you're prepared for that because you've put in the work that nobody's seen to be able to perform in that situation. So I'm just extremely proud and extremely grateful to be their coach and excited to, you know, get a chance to watch him perform again tomorrow.
That's UNC pitching coach Brian Gaines speaking there. Scott Forbes will be back in the dugout tonight as Carolina takes on VCU for a trip to the NCAA Super Regional. First pitch at 6 p.m. We'll have it all for you right here on 97.9 The Hill. Elsewhere in sports, individual honors for a pair of Tar Heel women's lacrosse stars. Allie Mastroianni and Jamie Ortega have been named as two of the four finalists for this year's Honda Sport Award, which goes to the top women's lacrosse player in the nation. And in football, UNC wide receiver Josh Downs got named to the preseason All-ACC first team by Athlon Sports. Defensive lineman Miles Murphy made the second team. Up to the pros, the Durham Bulls got a win yesterday, 4-1 over Nashville to take their series 4-2. The Bulls are on the road this week at Memphis, beginning tomorrow at 8. And in women's soccer, the North Carolina Courage got their first win of the season on Saturday, 3-0 over Racing Louisville. The Courage are now 1-3-1 on the season, and their next game is Saturday at Washington.